It is Sunday, the 10th of March. Far too early to be doing a draft for next season, but depressed as I am, I thought I'd roll one out. And the uptake was very positive, surprisingly. There must be a lot of analysts who have been kicked out of their leagues early and are already looking to next season. Matty G and I are going to go through the first two rounds. We've got through the draft actually surprisingly quickly for a slow draft. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. At FBI Basketball on Twitter is where you will find us. I'm going to bring in Matty G. It is very early. It's definitely the earliest I've done one of these. I usually am the first to do it. I have been for the last few years. But just injuries the last couple of weeks have got me feeling down in the dumps. So I thought, let's look ahead to next season. I've been talking about where is Wemby going to go next season, probably for a month now.
You got your answer today.
I did get my answer today.
You did.
I don't think anyone has tweeted out the results yet from the first two rounds. I know.
No, I think there's a collective understanding that we don't say shit until you do. I think that is the rule. Like, this is Kingy's baby. You get first dibs tonight with this show to go through it, and then I think everyone can start to mention from there.
I think Noah did tweet. Was it Noah? I think Noah tweeted out his pick, so the pick that he made, but he hasn't tweeted out everyone else's. So
I think the funniest one was Alex Reclean's that you hooked up with me to take the piss out, because we were joking around about him taking Walker Kessler in the first round. Yeah. And he tweeted out that with his first spot, and it was hilarious. Josh Lloyd got onto it within like 5 seconds, was like, no way, this is real.
He did.
It's like, it was hilarious. It was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got a message from Alex, and he said, are you around? Because I really want to take Kessler, but you need to rewind it straight away so that the next person doesn't draft. So, yeah, we just wanted a screenshot. We just wanted to get a bit of a reaction, and we did. Now, we didn't get to do our show on Thursday, our usual Thursday night show, Blokes, Beers and Basketball, because I was playing softball for some reason. So we've got our drinks tonight. Yeah. So I'll let you hold yours up first.
Yeah, I'm drinking something from the great Southland of this wondrous Southland, from Tasmania, Pure Origin Gin. This is a pink gin with soda. And yeah, we've been there with my wife. We've been to the distillery down there that make this stuff. And I saw it in a bottle shop today. I was like, oh, look at that. I'll pick it up. And it was $7 for four cans. It's ridiculous.
Can't go wrong. For anyone that's watching in America, that's probably about $4.
That is very cheap. Yes, darling. Yes. Oh, you've
been summoned.
No. She's like, oh, are you recording? I was like, yes, I'm just speaking about the gin thing.
Yes, and I am drinking the Wilder Hard Berry Cider.
Oh.
I think it was about $15 for 8%, so 2.5 drinks per can.
Oh,
so,
my Lord. This is very clean. This is a very clean one. One can, one drink. You can know your limits off the top. And by the way, can I just say, this whole thing that you've got going on is fantastic. I mean, a final round of a league with my I'm against an old mate of mine, Rod. Shout out to Rod. I think he's actually in chat watching us tonight as well. So shout out to you, Rodders. You know, when it comes to the dog days, like you said, injuries derail you. You forget how much fun drafting really is.
You do. Look, I love drafting. It's probably my favorite time of the year, so I'm happy to do it whenever. I'm just going to pop up this comment quickly. So Metalhead, regular viewer of the show, Wemby, Jokic, SGA, Embiid, Luka, Giannis. I'm assuming that's his projected top six.
Ooh.
And it's not far off. It's not exact, it's not far off.
It's close.
Yeah.
I would love to see people in chat put who they actually think will be the top five. Because the last time that we had this conversation, I think it was two Thursdays ago. Actually, no, it was on our live on the Insight live on the Heat Check, because it was starting to get the rumors that Wemby was going to be wound down a little bit. Like, there was just a little bit of concern going in. Mm-hmm. Last weekend on the Saturday morning show with Skitty, who's drafting at number two in this draft. And I was like, I think with the concern of Wemby next year will be this. Will San Antonio still do the same shenanigans where if he's a little bit injured like now, he'll sit out the last three games of a week? And I think that's the main concern, because if we think they're going to be a lot better, amazing. If they get that Trae Young or that other guy, you know, that superstar they want, great. Maybe they'll push harder. But if they don't, there's big shutdown potential for Wemby.
There is. There is, yeah. We've seen him miss a couple of games this week, coincidentally lining up with a semi-final matchup in the industry pickup league. So I've been without Wemby this week, which has been fantastic. So Metalhead is torn between Wemby and Jokic. Old man and a C, Jokic, SGA, Wemby, Luka, and Embiid is the top five. I will say that they are the top. No.
There's one off there.
No, they're not the top five. So anyway, let's jump
in. No. It is. I think it is. Old man's. Yeah. Old man's got it.
Oh, he has. Sorry.
He has.
Not in that order.
Because of the shutdown. Oh, yeah. See, I agree, old man. That's my main concern, because it's a number one pick, and we all can see right now, like, this is the great lens. You have to cast forward 1 year from right now, Kingy. So when we look at it, do we want the potential of a shutdown with our number one pick in our semifinal week or our last week of our playoffs, and what's going to happen? And just no, we don't want that.
No. So we'll dive in. So the little graphic here is something you whipped up last night. We appreciate it. FBI Basketball appreciates it. It looks great. It's actually given us some good ideas for next season. So, but yes, Kingy's Classic, way too early, 24-25 NBA Fantasy Mock Draft with all the analysts there down the bottom. Look, it's probably going to go for about a week, I'd say. And then I'll probably do another one in about a month. So there will be more. Here we go.
Yeah.
First pick of the draft went to Rafael Johnson, and as I expected, he took Victor Wembanyama with number one. Now, we've had the discussion already here tonight that this is the worry is the shutdown. So this is a mock draft. So factor that in a little bit, because we're not actually playing this league out. So yeah, I think Wemby at number one. He'll go number one next season. His ADP will be around 1.5 or one, because he'll go one, he'll go two. I don't think he falls beyond three.
No, no way.
So, yeah. And I think it's going to depend, as old man C has put here, if they get a top tier point guard. So I think obviously we are way, way off in terms of when we're going to be drafting for next season. So a lot of water has to go under the bridge.
Oh, 100%.
So if they land DeJounte, Trae Young, someone like that in the offseason, then I think Wemby's number one. But currently running the squad they've got now, I could see why you might just drop him back to two or three. But as I said, I'm not surprised. I actually thought Raf would go with Victor here. Surprising to you or somewhat expected?
Look, I think it's somewhat expected, just the hype around it. Like, we are seeing otherworldly things out of Victor this year, obviously, but the concern is real. But when this is the thing as well, points per game, great. Rebounds per game, great. Assists per game, middling assists. But then you look at the elite blocks, like the elite league leading blocks per game, and then you look at the steals average for him. You're like, okay, that's really saucy. And when you're planning a team out, the percentages, I mean, they're decent enough. Like, you're not going to really, there's no negs there percentage wise. You're a very proud Victor Wembanyama owner. So, I mean, you know, obviously he wants to try and take a lot of outside shots, and that game isn't there for him yet. Like, he's still young. Like, we got to give the guy, he's 19. That mid-range game, the three-point game is not going to be there. But it'll get better over time. The percentages will go up. And there'll be no doubt that if not next year, it's when he is the consensus number one on every single board in the world, basically every year.
Yeah.
For the next 10 years.
Yeah, he is. And he's, I think it'll start next year, certainly per game. I think he'll be number one. But On to number two. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went to Skitty.
He did.
And this is in line. We have him as one of the top three players. And obviously, based on that, I had picked three and I took Nikola Jokic. So I was tempted to not take Jokic.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about that, because I've got Skitty on speed dial. I said, answer it if I dare call you, because I want to know why you took SGA, because I have a feeling it has to do with his steals. But why would you pass on Jokic at three? Because that's a pretty hot take.
Yeah, I just couldn't. Like, he's too good. He's too good. Yep. And at number three, you almost have to take him. I was considering Luka. I just think the improvement we've seen this year from Luka at the free throw line, he's been phenomenal the last couple of weeks. I just think there's scope. Like, I think Jokic has peaked. I think he is who he is now, and that's a very good player, but I don't think he can get any better, where I think Luka can. I think Luka can still improve those free throws a little bit. He just scores
effortlessly.
Part of it is the points, because unless you're punting points, you need to get them early in a draft, any draft. It doesn't matter what draft it is. And Luka is 34, 35 points a game. Jokic is 24, 25. That's a big difference.
It is.
So I was tempted to go Luka, but I didn't. I went with Jokic just because I sort of felt like I had to. But I think this is the consensus number three at this point for next season. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I've actually got Skitty on here. Skitty, why did you take Skitty? You there?
Yeah, mate.
Why did you take SGA at two over instead of Jokic?
Oh, a little bit of fun, a little bit of taking that. You know, he's still young. Jokic is going to be 30 next year. You know, Shai brings good categories in different positions. So I thought, you know what, I'll make this a little bit interesting and I'll take Shai at two and I'll let Kingy have him have Jokic at three.
Thank you very much, beautiful, handsome man. I'll see you soon.
Enjoy your night, mate.
You too. There we go, because I was curious. There you go, because old man in the sea actually said, I'll be interested about why. I love that. You're right. Jokic has peaked. He's getting older. But Lex actually said a really good comment as well. Jokic at three is wild. And I think this is where, like, as you said, it starts to fall to, like, where it gets interesting, because this is where Embiid was the consensus number two or three this year behind SGA, and the dominoes start to fall. So do we take him? But on Luka's year, and it was no surprise, Luka does go at number four to Noah Rubin, which is a great pick. As you said, there's just room. I think the person who can only even probably buy 40,000 points in the NBA at the bar. I heard a really interesting argument from, it was Bill Simmons and I think it was Ryan Russillo on their pod talking about, will we ever see anyone score 40,000 points again? Like, in a lifetime with this ease of scoring? I don't think so. But if there's any man who could probably come close to it, even though he started late, would be Luka, because it's wild. But that then left, obviously, number five to four to Kayla Fonte, which was Joel Embiid. So this is pretty much a consensus order. After this one, Kingy, you'd say it's the exact same carbon copy from the 23-24 season, but Victor Wembanyama has shot up the leaderboard pretty much.
Yeah, he has. And I actually wouldn't take Embiid here. I know Kayla did. I'm in my rankings, I think I've got him down at about number seven for next year, simply because I just don't see any way he plays more than 55 games, given that he's had two meniscus injuries. And he's had the same surgery twice. So basically he's got bone on bone there. And I just don't see how he can play more than, like I said, 50, 55 games. They're going to manage him.
Yeah.
And with my first round pick, I want to take someone who theoretically could play 70, 75 max, but at least 70 games. And I think all four of these could, and I think the next few could. But I just don't see Embiid being able to do it. So for me, that's why I wouldn't take him. But I can certainly see why you would in terms of production.
100%. And a shout out to Lex in chat who said, appreciate the reasoning from Jake. I'm not sure he makes the same call on draft night though. Lex, knowing the man like I do, I can probably tell you this time next year, Skitty will be like a man of his word to the dying day. If he says he'll take Shai next year at two, he'll take him. He loves Shai too. He's probably... I think he would probably almost flirt with taking Shea at number one over Victor. Because, I mean, and that's a consideration next year. We could be seeing Shea go one, Victor two, Jokic three very easily. Your boy B-Dub, have you asked Tyrese? This is pretty much falling into line with this year. After the, it doesn't seem that the injuries this year, like, and the time away, put too much of a ding on Tyrese.
No, I don't think so. I think it was a hamstring injury, so it was nothing long term. The Pacers obviously managed it pretty poorly with bringing him back, and I think that's just contributed to his dip in production over the last month, is that he's just not healthy. I think we're starting to see him get back to old Tyrese, and barring any setbacks or anything like that, he should be back to that top sort of top 10, top 8 player within a week or two. So, yeah, I think Tyrese here is probably consensus. I can't really think of – I'm just looking through the rest of the picks here. I can't really see anyone else going ahead of him. Maybe Giannis in certain builds.
I think the next two would probably be the flirtatious around the – yeah, I think you're spot on. I think the next two picks fall very easily. I know that I took Jason Tatum seventh in a draft this year. I had the seventh pick and I took Tatum. So he's kind of fallen around that way. And he's been great lately. Like, and this is a team that is the best team in the East that keeps on rolling. Tatum keeps on doing his thing. Yeah, it was solid pick. This is about as solid as it comes now, isn't it, around seven?
Yeah, Tatum, it's interesting because Tatum's been pretty disappointing this season from a per-game status. He's been better the last couple of weeks. He's up to the 13th-ranked player in 9-cat, but he was down around 18, 20 there for a while.
Yep, don't remind me.
Really what you're looking at here is durability, consistency, sort of chips in across all categories. So he doesn't really have a hole in his fantasy game as such. So really safe pick here in the middle, very similar to what we saw this season. Just a comment here from Old Man and C, and this is something to consider when we're talking here about this draft. It being a mock draft, we're not considering schedule at all because we have no idea what the schedule is. So that could impact if for some reason, like the Nuggets have two-game weeks in the playoffs and the Mavs have one and then 2-4 games or something, then I might take Doncic over Jokic. So there could be some slight shuffling here, but yeah, being a mock, we're not factoring that in at all. So that is the first seven picks off the board. We had Victor, Wembanyama at one, Shea at two, Jokic, Doncic, Embiid, Halliburton, Tatum. I think that's fairly consensus. I think there could be, you could move someone up one, down one, but I think this is probably the top seven with probably this guy in that discussion as well, and that's Giannis, who went at pick 8 to Alex Rekline. I've never actually had Giannis in a fantasy league just because of the holes that he does have, the free throw percentage, the lack of threes. But look, he's been good this year. Again, if you punt those categories, he's probably top 5, I would say. Let me have a look. Just talk about Giannis while I have a look at what his rank is.
Look, I actually was leaning, I'm coming up very, very soon on the draft board, and he was one guy that I've never owned as well. Again, just the same way. What does he not bring me? Okay, well, I'm not going to have a really good free throw percentage. How am I going to chase that for my next 10 picks? Like, how am I going to make up for his inadequacy there? So I'd have to be looking at my second or third pick at high volume, high percentage guys. That's the only way that you can carry that with a number one pick and really help buoy it to make yourself and your team around an 800 plus team, which is pretty consistent for elite performing teams in most leagues. Because the thing with Giannis is he doesn't shoot them well, and he also shoots them at volume. And that becomes the thing there as well. Like, there's a quick, you know, little thing that you need to think about is, if I'm taking Giannis, well, who am I going to get now who's going to go to the free throw line a lot? And yeah, that was it.
Yep. And so I just quickly plugged it in there. If you punt free throws this season, Giannis is the 4th ranked player. So certainly warrants a top 5, top 8 pick. If you're prepared to either punt that category or then target free throws really hard with the next few. picks. So Lex says AD has to go next. I will tell you he does not, and he does not for a while. He goes in this block, but not next. This is an interesting one. Dan Titus, friend of the show.
I was surprised. Friend of the show. He's from the Bay Area. It's a homer pick for sure. His Bay Area represent.
He could be. If he was awake, I'd get him on the phone as well, but he's not.
Prank him.
I won't. Prank him. I don't know. For me, this is just too high. Steph isn't, he's not done. I'm not going to say he's done. He's too good. But if we pull up the rankings this season, he's 25th. I just feel like that risk of injury, that risk of management, he's probably max 60 games, 65 games. So, yeah, I don't know. This is probably the first one for me that I don't really agree with. What are your thoughts? Are you sort of agreeing with me there, or you're on board?
Yeah, I can't neg Steph. I think it's been a disappointing year for him. But again, if we get the same result for the Golden State Warriors next year, yeah, I can definitely see him slipping outside the first round. I know that I have the next pick on the clock, and I was torn because I was trying not to go with my gut. And I had three guys, so I was like, I'm going to take a first round guy on the season that I want. And I'm going to take AD, I'm going to take Kyrie, or I'm going to take Kawhi. Those were my next ones. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to get AD again, but I'm not going to get a Steph Curry again. So he was off the board. And yeah. I was trying to play around with the build, if that makes sense. And I've come away actually looking good with it. But it's tough, man. I think we're on this really slippery slope in fantasy where if you don't have one of those first two, if you don't have that number one pick to take Victor, you really need to think about where you're going to punt towards or lean towards very, very quickly afterwards.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like big guys who get big numbers go off the board so quickly.
Yeah.
And so my next pick was, there we go, Lex again in chat. I took Steph first this year. He's not worth it. Points and threes, merchant, assist and free throw. Yeah, volume was missing this year. Assist and free throws were missing. So, look, it's spoiler alert. I was going to take AD. I had it ready to click, and then I paused it just because I don't know what's going to happen with the team next year. And if they go down sideways and if something happens with this player option with LeBron or anything like that playing that game, I wanted AD. But I've taken him in some leagues this year. Mate, put it away. Put me on the spot.
I'll just pop this question up quickly. After this year, so old man in the seat, interested to see if Kawhi will go at the end of the first round. I will tell you he does not, and he does not even really go close, which I was surprised. I thought he'd go higher.
He was going to be my second round. I won't lie. I can tell you, are we doing the second round? We get to the second round or just the first? Okay, cool. Man, I will tell you, old man, I had a very big consideration, but my pick here at 10 backs up my pick in my second round for this. And I'm going to do some chasing for some stats in my next two rounds. So when it comes back around, you'll probably see what I've done with my next two picks, Kingy. I've gone Sabonis because I wanted someone who was – now, I'm not going to lie. I was going to try and get Şengün in the third round. Spoiler alert, guys. You'll be very surprised to see where Alpi has gone. So I thought maybe in the third round or fourth round I could get like an Alpi, maybe. But I've taken Sabonis because I want a decent field goal percentage, decent free throw percentage. But I'm looking for double-digit assist guys because these are the guys who go off the board. So I know I'm not going to get Trae Young if I take Sabonis because I know Trae Young will go anywhere between 12 and 15, 16 in my head. I know that already Tyrese Halliburton and Jokic, they're off the board. So who else am I going to look for? I'm going to take Sabonis. He's been a top 10 player in the last month. There's about just a solid foundation that I can get to work from there. So I took Sabonis, and I was very close to taking AD, but I just went with the everything else. But this blew my socks off because I thought he was a chance to come back around as well. But, mate, I messaged Zach afterwards. I'm like, mate, there's the fences. Did you point towards the fence when you swung? And he's like, mate, I couldn't pass him up there. Wouldn't have made it back. This is his exact words.
Yep. I'm not sure if he would have made him back. I have him as a borderline first round player next season. So we're talking about Chet Holmgren for anyone that's not watching along and listening along. Chet Holmgren went at 11 to pick Zach. This is really on brand for Zach. He loves going with these young upside guys. So I'm not surprised that it was Zach who took him with pick 11. He's the 14th ranked player this season, and I guess you have to consider that his floor moving forward is, as I said, that back end of that first round, and I just think with the upside, like I would take him above Steph. And if we look at the next few names to come off the board, well, the next one is interesting as well.
If they fly off the board, the second round into the third is even wilder than the first.
It is. Let's keep moving. So pick 12, Kyle McEwen went with Scotty Barnes. This huge. One was my gut reaction is this is too high for Scotty Barnes. I know he was really good to start the year.
Yeah.
He leveled off. He's injured. He's 23rd for the season. I'm just not sure how much better he can get. I know he is still quite young. He's only 22, so he still has time on his side. But I feel like this season is prime opportunity for him to produce because the Raptors are bad. They don't have a lot of depth. I feel like they're only going to get better. And so while Scotty Barnes might get better, I'm just not sure his production can. But in saying that, he has been so good. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Scotty Barnes at pick 12?
Crazy. Love it. I love it from Kyle. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I see that. I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, that's a big balls move because I love Scotty Barnes. I traded to get him in. Do I see him? Because this is a 14-person draft, not a 12-teamer. So we've still got two more to go. But I love that. Again, this is like, did you point to the fences when you swung for the home run? Because this is kind of similar to my Sabonis one. Kyle could look at me and be like, Maddie, but what am I missing out on? In fact, man, I'm going to get more, like probably some more steals and blocks than you're going to get with Sabonis. And I'm like, man, fair shout.
Yeah.
Probably gets more threes than Sabonis too, because he stretched the game a little bit. So look, my hat off to Kyle for a big fence swing for that one. Look, the thing is he's gone back in the standings, in the rankings to the, I guess, the two sides of it, as you said, since they're the rebuild and the trades. So is Kyle from Canada? I don't believe so, but he does drink Canadian Club. So if he was on that around the time, that could factor into the decision heavily.
Yeah, he's not from Canada. I think he might be from Detroit somewhere because I know Shannon, his brother who works for RotoWire, is a big Detroit fan. So I feel like maybe they're from Detroit, but don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure.
Look, I think it's a great swing because, look, again, if we're talking floor here, like if we're going to get a healthy Scotty Barnes, what are we looking at? Okay, 20 points a game, maybe 9 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, a block. That's a really decent foundation. So I think he was going for foundation. This is where the AD went. And when I looked at when Dan took him, mate, very happy for him getting him at 13.
Yeah, Anthony Davis at 13 is phenomenal. This is sort of where I feel like this year he was going maybe 10,
just after
11.
The turn. Yeah,
yeah,
just after
yeah
the
sort
turn,
of. So this too. Sort of area.
Yep.
But he's been, where are we? He's the fourth ranked player this year. If we look at games played across these sort of top players this season, he's right up there. Like there's very few, there's like one guy that's played more games than him. Oh, no, maybe two and three. But he's only one game behind Shea, one game behind Jokic. He's played more than Jason Tatum. He's played
more questionable or probable tags than any other player in the NBA this season at the same time.
He has. So that's usual. We're used to that Anthony Davis. We're used to but that. Look, getting him here is fantastic because he's a top five player when he's healthy. So, yeah. Oh, there we go.
Oh, there he is, D-Mac. I tell you, man, I was very happy when he fell to that because I was looking at him at 10. I was like, you know what? I just want that floor of I want to build off rebounds and assists. And I saw him go and I'm like, damn. Because this is where if you could pair Davis there, if you could pair at the turn, can I just say this is a sexy 12-man I would love to see Dan's thoughts on this, or L-Man in the sea, and your thoughts, Kingy. A 12-man league, AD falls to you at 12. You pair him up immediately with Chet Holmgren. Who's coming for you for blocks? Because what do you almost force the hand of the guy picking at one who's taken Victor? Because they're like, oh, I was chasing blocks. And they see that in your team. You might have to put them on the spot to make them pivot a little bit. I'm just saying, you can get some blocks in the third, fourth, fifth round, and you take those guys at the turn.
Yeah. Yep. Matt Smith, pick 14. So he is picking on the turn. This is a 14 team league. He went with Trae Young. Now I had Trae sadly in most of my leagues this year, which was really good up until 2 weeks ago. And him being out is probably going to cost me at least two matchups this week, which is a shame. But he's been really good. I think he's bounced back after last season. He was a little bit underwhelming. I'm fine with Trae here. I think getting him at the back end of the first round, early second round is about right. High volume points. He'll flirt with leading the league in assists with Tyrese Halliburton. He's been hitting his threes again this year, which is what he wasn't doing last year. So, yeah, I love Trae here at 14. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. And then coming back around, Matt Smith at pick 15, he pairs Trae Young with Devin Booker. So points going very points. Hard, leaning into points, threes, assists, free throw percentage, all your typical guard stats. I'm assuming when we get back to him in quite a few picks, he will be targeting some rebounds. He doesn't have any bigs yet. So Booker, again, another guy that's probably locked in around this range. Yep. I just have a question. So I'm going to bring up the next pick because these two guys for me are pretty similar. I would probably take Donovan Mitchell over Devin Booker though. Who would you have? So Dan, NBA Fantasy Bible,
yep,
got Donovan Mitchell at 16. Would you have a preference here?
Don. I love Don. Yep. Don is good. Like, I had the 10th pick and I was like, because he's still, to me, like, just the mental concept is that Donovan Mitchell is a second round guy, even though on the season he's been first round this year. So I love this from D-Mac. Like, this is almost like if I was picking where he was, he's done exactly what I would have done, because love AD there at the end of it, love Donovan Mitchell coming back to me. He does it all, whether he stays in Cleveland or he gets traded and demands, like, whatever off-season shenanigans happen, he's still going to be amazing. And I love that pick at 16.
Very good. Dan agrees. Chet AD, very solid build. I agree as well. Old man in the sea, he's a hot take. Trae should go higher than Steph next year. I agree. I would take Trae over Steph next year. And I think I have him above him in my rankings. I'd have to pull them up to have a look. But I think I have Trae in the first round and Steph right at the back of the first round, early second round, from memory. Does LaMelo go second round?
Do we ruin the surprise?
No, we won't, because we'll get to that because it's a discussion that I wanted to have. But here's just a question from Lex. What are your thoughts on putting a maximum games played per week, say 35, for example? Do you have thoughts on this? Because I do.
Oh, I do. And I don't. I do and I don't. Like, I love the concept of it making it more difficult and challenging for a manager to think about your rosters and the construction. And it's a lot more tactical about start and sit. And I get that and I love that. But I guess I'm a bit of a purist sometimes in the old school way of like, you know what? Let me draft my team. Let these guys go out there. And if it's a tight league where I have a guard, like this, like, let's be honest, Kingy, if it's a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, forward, center, spot, center, I've only got 7 or 8 active guys. I want to see them roll out there for like that whole time. And if you do the math on that, you know, like, that's about where it's living. That's what I love to see, those minimum spots out there. But yeah, I think it's a really good challenge for you to roll out minimum games sometimes, like 35, 40. It can be really challenging for you. And it's a really like spy versus spy thing. Like, well, you're going to roll them, I'm going to roll out these guys. So there's a lot more countering involved. I think it's great tactical. I just love my guys to play. That's me. I just love to draft well and go there.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love just, yeah, drafting and rolling as many guys out every night as I can. Yeah. You stream away. But I do like the concept of it, and I think it's going to be introduced more because of injuries, because of schedule, all that sort of stuff. It evens it up a little bit. We've implemented it in the Industry Pickup League. I know Josh did it in all of his Locked On Fantasy Bowl leagues last year and this year. So he's a big fan of it. I like the concept behind it, that it does tend to eliminate, or not eliminate, but negate some of those injuries that you get, because you're not just it's not quantity over quality. It's you're not just winning because you had 48 guys and your opponent had injuries and so only had 37 games. So
That's the only thing that I think is good, because it puts you both on, no matter what, an even playing field. Like my best 35 games versus your ones. But, you know, if they hit a wall and you use them up early, and man, I just love them. I love guys to go hammer and tongs. This is why I think we have to make sure that we're in leagues with IL spots. And we've seen the injuries. I think two IL spots now has to be probably almost my default. As a commissioner next year, I think I'm going to build in two IL spots and everything. It's going to be an IL plus next year, no matter what, I think.
Yeah, I have two in all my leagues. See another comment. Yes, it does. The weekly games cap hits a wall when a guy you are starting gets late scratch. That is true. You start a guy and then he doesn't play, you miss a game. So if you're 40 games, it means you're only playing 39. So that is the downside, or one of the downsides. So there's pros and cons, obviously, and there's no perfect league or perfect settings. I've enjoyed this year in a few of my leagues. We've done a mid-season draft and just to change things up a bit. And so, I mean, there's different things you can be doing, but anyway, let's keep moving on with the draft, and we'll get to some more of those questions. Anthony Edwards goes at 17 to Kyle McEwen. Now, coming into this season, I feel like he was a borderline first rounder. He was going sort of 14, 15, so a little bit higher than this, and he's been good but not great.
He's fallen the exact same. We have to think about it this way, and this is what I was thinking about, like, the show and topics. Our order is almost verbatim the same, but everyone can start doing this right now. It's plus two. It's the same 12 guys plus two. Welcome Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama, which is unprecedented for two rookies to be this great and to make such a difference in fantasy basketball. Like, this is astonishing. Like, it's literally shifted. You could literally shift. You could just put, like, Chet and Wemby 1-2 and then start going from three down the script. And it's the order of those guys. I mean, Scotty Barnes to Kyle. You know, he's teamed obviously up Scotty Barnes with Anthony. So I think it's starting to see some of these young guys really come on in fantasy, which is just, it's great for the game and great for fantasy.
It is. And I think next year we'll start to see some of these veterans, LeBron, KD, just starting to drop a little bit. Yeah. KD was sort of a first rounder this season, and I'll tell you now that he's about to go off the board, but he's probably around half a round lower than he was last season.
Yeah.
Another interesting one from Zach, and again, not surprising knowing Zach, he went with Paolo Banchero at pick 18. This, I think he's really banking on some improvements here from Paolo next season, which trajectory has him pointed firmly up. I mean, he's certainly improved this season. But do you think he can improve next season to the point where he's a mid-second round player?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, on the year, I'm just gonna have a check of where he is for the year, to be fair. Because last I saw, he was behind. Is that the last? Yeah, full season. And this is on 9 cat leagues. This is crazy. This is using Basketball Monster. He is actually behind Jalen Suggs as the best and Franz Wagner as the best option. He's actually 153rd in that league on Basketball Monster on this setting in this league. So I think but the thing is this, we see that. We're like, wait, that doesn't make – it doesn't check out. Like, the eye test and what he brings you doesn't check out. I think he's on an upward trajectory. I see him definitely improving from where his ADP was this year. But I think into the second round of drafts, I think that's too early. I think this was the first one that I said, that's too early for me. Like, just unequivocally, that's too early.
Yeah, yeah. I think the path to him improving is pretty clear. I think it's percentages, because his assists are good. He's a good rebounder. He's solid enough defensively. But if he can increase that field goal percentage to 48, 49 and get his free throws up closer to 80, then imagine he's a 27-point scorer rather than a 22. So
if he's a 52-80 guy, man, this is where Zach is like, he's drunk from the right cup of juice to have this pick at 18.
Yeah. So, and again, it's a mock. So whether he would do this in a real draft, I'm not sure. Zach might, but yeah, I'm not so sure. You were next, James Harden, pick 19. Talk us through your philosophy here with James Harden.
Welcome to my Kawhi-less team. This was where I was, do I take Kawhi or do I take Kyrie? Both of them have been first-round value on the year. And so I did the exercise. Who is still left now falling to me at pick at 20 guys deep, who's usually first-round value in a 20 team? And the only guys left at this point in time traditionally are Kawhi, who is sixth on the year, Kevin Durant, who is ninth on the year, Kyrie at 10, and Lauri Markkanen at 12. Next up is James Harden, who is 16 on the year. Are the only guys currently left, apart from Chris Stapps, who's 17th on the year, but again, not top 12. So I'm like, is there any first-round guy who I could get? And there were still three. Again, the aging Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and Kawhi. So this put me in my Clippers brain, like, which Clipper do I take? We've had an exceptional season from Kawhi. Do we get another one next year? Not by the way that he's not any good, but do we get one where he's exceptionally healthy? Because when he's exceptionally healthy, he is exceptionally good. He is a top 10 fantasy player. But I thought about my build and I went with the whole, like, looking at it from, all right, I'm going to take assists and rebounds the best I can. And I've just done the numbers on it. I'm currently leading in rebounds and I am currently leading in assists in the league. I'm at a steal a game, which is right around where I want to be. I'm at field goal percentage plus 500 and I am plus 800 in free throw percentage. So that's kind of where I was mentally at. I just wanted to keep my percentages up and I wanted to back down some rebounds and assists early just to try and get those. And then I'm going to start to flirt with some more scoring. Because again, like you said, man, scoring goes off early and there's scoring right there in Damian Lillard at number 20 for Dan.
Yeah, Dan Titus went with Damian Lillard at 20. That feels pretty safe.
Yeah, pretty safe, very safe
to me. Another guy that's dropped significantly. I know he did drop coming into this season because of the move to the Bucks, but he wasn't this low. He was going closer to the first round than the third round. So I think getting him at 20 feels good. That's really safe. Not a lot to say there regarding that pick. Alex Reclean, Kevin Durant at pick 21. So this is one of those guys like Steph that I mentioned, like LeBron, that are just starting to fall off. I think we're starting to see the young brigade come through and some of these older players are just dropping by half a round to a round. Kevin Durant's basically been a consensus first-round pick for the last decade. So is this the start of the end? Or not the end, but the start of the decline? Is this about right, do you think, coming into next season? Or will he have a strong playoffs and people will remember how good he was and then next season he'll be going too high?
I think you could take three guys out of who have been picked maybe and drop them below. And if you're still looking at Kevin Durant at, let's say, 18 or 17, it's still in the second round and it's still mid second round, which is still lower than we've seen Kevin Durant, like you said, in a decade of fantasy basketball. And on the season, he's ninth this year. Like this, and this is still where we've got current season recency bias. There's no greater recency bias than the actual moment itself, which is what we're in. So yeah, I think this is a great pick at 20. Like getting him here, even if there's a little bit of regression, he falls down, he's still Kevin Durant and he's been pretty much healthy for the most part.
Yep.
So yeah, good picking by Reclean.
I think if you're looking next season, I think we were looking at it this season as well. When you're looking at games played projected for the season, I would consider 65 to 70 your average now. So don't go, oh, this guy's only going to play 65 games. I think if he's going to play 65 games, that's probably what you're going to find as the common theme. Guys that play 70, 75 games are really rare now. There aren't a lot of them. So no. Durant's at 57, I think I looked at now.
Yeah, 57 currently.
So he'll, barring another injury, he probably gets to 65, 68, which is fine. That's absolutely fine.
By the way, shout out to the league leading games this season, Buddy Hield and Austin Reeves at 65 each.
Buddy Hield doing Buddy Hield things. That's what he does. He plays.
He plays games.
22, Mike Barner, Bam Adebayo. Too high for me. I don't know what your thoughts are on Bam. I think I'm a little bit soured on him because I've got him in a league this year and he's just been a little bit underwhelming. He's good, but he's not – I feel like he's plateaued. He was sort
of – He's not a sexy pick.
Yeah, and I just – he's. I feel like he's – hang on, let me have a look. I feel like he's in the 50s this year.
Oh, we'll have a quick look too.
Where are we? 55.
Yeah.
So 20 and 10 with a steal and a block, 51 from the field, 77 from the line. So he's really good, but – he sneakily hurts you in free throws because he'll often have games where he goes 2 of 6, doesn't hit threes. He's not a high shot blocker. He's not a high volume scorer. So I feel like he's good, but I just don't think I'd take him in the second round. And if I look at the guys that went after him here.
This is exactly what I was thinking.
I think I'd probably take every player that goes after him in this round, I would take above Bam Adebayo.
I would probably agree with you because when I – you know, when I did the Harden thing, I mean, it was like, oh shit, oh god, no, it's okay. I'm getting the rebounds and the assists. It's fine. This is fine. Like this is fine. You know, like I was like sitting on that dumpster fire, holding a coffee cup and just drifting away. Like this is fine. And I was thinking, I know Kyrie and Kawhi are going to go soon. And then when you start to see like Bam go before those two guys, so that's why this absolutely made sense for Embiid, and who I thought got an absolute steal. In a 12-team league, this is almost the turn of the second round, which is crazy. So I thought this was great picking, which goes in to put up the next one as well. This is where these guys go, 23 and 24. I thought these were two great picks back on back. Kawhi and Kyrie still sitting on your board at 23 and 24. You've got to take him at this point.
Well, Kawhi especially. I mean, Kyrie has had some injury concerns. He's only played 42 games this year.
Yeah.
Kawhi's been relatively healthy. He's at 57, which is pretty bang on average, I would say, if you scroll through the first few rounds. So,
but saying that, imagine where Kyrie would be had he played six more games, possibly.
And if we look at per game, Kawhi is number 6, Kyrie is number 10. So, two first round players, getting them, as you said, if this was a standard 12 team league, you're getting them basically on the turn. So I feel like Kawhi will go higher than this if he stays healthy, because I think the Clippers will have a good postseason run.
Yeah.
And if Kawhi just plays most of those games, doesn't get an injury, he'll go inside the top 20 next year. I'm pretty certain of that.
100%.
And here we are, one you mentioned earlier, pick 25 to Noah Rubin, Alperen Şengün. Coming into the season, we were a little bit hesitant because we weren't sure how he was going to be used. They were chasing Brook Lopez, so I think we were a little bit concerned with, do they view him as their long-term center, or is he just sort of placeholder until they get a better option? But as we've seen the whole season, but especially the last couple of weeks, he's a stud. Like
he is massive.
Has been fine. There were concerns about his defense, but I think we've seen, as most of us flagged, you put better defenders around him, he'll be a better defender. That's just common sense. So, he's and if you watch that game against the Spurs the other night, Wemby was potentially not 100%, but Şengün dominated him, and he was scoring at will. which no one has been able to do this season.
He is so big and mobile. Like, he is really, he's got really great footwork. Like, just fantasy aside, real basketball, he's really good on his feet. Like, he's very mobile. He's very agile. He gets around the court willingly. And I've got to say, fuck you, Noah Rubin. Like, you can clip this. You can make this a TikTok. Like, fuck you, Noah Rubin, for taking Alpi at 25. Because I thought I'd have a chance. Because this is the first mock draft any of us have done for the next year. I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll get saucy and take him at 40 on his way around back on in the fourth round. Maybe I'll do that. Because on the year, Alpi is the 59th best player.
Yep.
So for me to jump and take him at 40, I thought was a little bit early. But I was like, you know what? That's really going to lock down those rebounds and assists. And then I could literally just go nuts for a couple of rounds and really get best players or what I wanted. But to see him at 25, again, this is a big balls play by Noah. So shout out to him. I think it's a better pick. You said you'd a better pick than Bam Adebayo, who went before him.
Yeah. And I'll let you know that he wouldn't have come back to you because this was the first of two consecutive snipes for me. I would have taken Shingo with my pick here.
Really? This was the other one.
I would have paired him with Jokic because
that's a sexy
little pair. That's out of position assists. Both are sneaky steals, efficient. Yeah, so I would love pairing Şengün with Jokic.
I wanted to do when you're ready, just said Şengün, the next Sabonis, and that's why I wanted to pair Sabonis and Şengün together. Yeah. So hearing you take that is, I think there's a little bit of a vindication of me trying to reach for him that early.
Yep, and. Yes, Şengün, the next Sabonis. He's in that discussion as Jokic light or Sabonis light. We've been sort of flagging this as who he might be, and I think we're at the point now where he's starting to show what he can be.
Yep.
So I did not get Şengün. I went with Jalen Brunson, pick 26. And
can I just say, what was your immediate reaction? What was when you saw that, thinking you were definitely going to have Şengün because that's a very early take for him at 26? Did you just open the app and were you like, no?
I was a little bit surprised. I thought he would be there for me. But again, it's a mock. So maybe I'm not as surprised as I would be if this was a real draft. But I think this is where he's going to go next year. I think he'll go late second, early third. I mean, who knows? If this last month he plays and he plays like he's been the last few weeks, maybe he goes inside the top 20. I don't know.
And Brunson was your point guard. Were you happy with Brunson?
Yeah, look, I was happy with Brunson. I had a look at who was on the board. I had another player. I was really close to taking him, and we'll talk about him in a second. But I went with Brunson. I just felt with Jokic I needed to get some points. So Brunson is 26, 27 points, good assists. Not elite defensively, but he'll get me a steal. He'll get me some threes. And I just think we've seen how important he is to the Knicks. And so I think I don't really see him improving a lot next season, but I think he'll be able to do what he's done this year. And he really fits. I'm probably going to punt blocks. Who did I take? Yes, I'm definitely going to punt blocks when I look at who my next pick is. So I'm just going for sort of these guard stats and get some rebounds and out-of-position rebounds, things like that. So I was happy with Brunson here.
Yeah.
I think this is probably where he goes next year. Similar range to Şengün. Lauri Markkanen went to Skitty at 27, which, I don't know, he's one of those players who sort of sneaks up on you. Like, he's been really good again this year. Where are we? I'm looking at rankings. So he's the 12th ranked player in standard leagues. And I think if you said to anyone, where do you think Markkanen is this season? And they hadn't looked at rankings, they'd probably go, oh, he's probably top 30, maybe top 25.
Yep.
But he's a first rounder. So
Skitty, genius stroke from Skidmore. Just to be honest, like, again, when I did that thing earlier, again, it's the same exercise that you do when you draft. You've got to take the best player on the board sometimes when they fall to you. And when a guy who is this year amongst all of these guys, and there's 26 guys that have gone before him, and only 11 of them are the first round dudes, because this is the last one of the 12 who are currently ranked, and you're sitting there at 27, you're like, oh, surely you've got to take him. And matching with Shea, there is points galore there and decent rebounds. You know, Larry gets you some steals and some block shots every now and then. It's a, the points are just coming off the board for him really easy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't really fault this pick at all. Yes, David, no LaMelo yet, mm-mm, but just give us 5 minutes and we'll have a little discussion.
Are we going to go up to like where we are right now?
I haven't done slides up to where we are, but we can talk about it because when I did the slides, we weren't up to where we are, but a few picks went off the board in the last half hour. So pick 28 was Tyrese Maxey. I considered him here as well. It was out of him and Jalen Brunson were the two. So again, can't really fault it. As I said earlier, I don't think Embiid plays more than about 50, 55 games next year. So
yeah,
Maxey is going to be option, well, 1A on offense next season. Yeah. So I think he's fine. I just went with Brunson here, probably just because of the assists upside. But absolutely fine with Maxey at 28.
If you have a number one pick next year and you hit the turn, I'm just saying now, this is a perfect third round first pick guy. Him at 25 next year, you've taken him at 28. If he's still on the board next year, at 25, and let's say you take Victor Wembanyama with number one or Shea or Jokic, the points that you're going to get off these, the assists, the steals, like everything, the free throw percentage clip is going to be insane if you've got this. So, yeah, this was a nice pick because he's paired him up with Victor and then he gets the next pick as well. So, yeah, that's a nice little pairing with Victor.
And Maxey's top 20 this year. So yeah, another player that I think if you ask the sort of the common fan, or they'd say, yeah, he's probably top 30. He's been good, but he's been really good. He's had a couple of injuries of late. He's got a concussion going on at the moment. But, yeah, look, he's been very good. That is all I did for the slides because, as I said, this is where we were up to when I put the slides together. So I will get rid of the slides. But we have had four more picks since then. Yep. So we have had the 29th, 30th, 31st, and 32nd pick. Pick 29, so the first round, first pick of the third round. So this was for Rafael Johnson, who had Wemby and Maxey. He went with Karl Anthony Towns at pick 31. Thoughts? I love Towns, so I love this pick.
Yeah, look, I like Towns. I'm just hopefully he recovers after this surgery and these games out for the rest of this season. He's been fantastic. He is currently going down the list. Where was he this season?
He's 30th at the moment.
Yeah, he is. He's 30th, flat out. So he's done, he's right around where he's going to go. Yeah. It's been resurgent this year. He was actually flirting with first, second round value at certain points throughout this year as well. This is a really nice, this is like, I was really curious with the build. I'm not going to lie. I like what Raf's done with it. Because with Victor, you kind of got a front field goal percentage as well. Like you might think he's a big man, but he's not because of his field goal percentage is not as great. So he's really teamed that really nicely with Tyrese and Karl Anthony Towns. Assists, points, rebounds. The world's his oyster picking at number one with these three guys. So I think it's a great pick and it really looks good with his team.
It does. So next was Skitty, and thanks Skitty for sniping me again.
LaMelo David Ball. Ross. There you go, David Ross. LaMelo shout Ball out to you.
And so I was seriously considering LaMelo with my pick where I took Brunson, but I thought he might come back to me. I was hoping he would.
You thought he would not go another? You thought he would come another 20 picks?
No. I thought he'd come back to me at
the next year. Yeah.
So with my third round pick. So. And he almost did. I'm probably oddly high on LaMelo. He's just so good per game. We saw it this year when he plays, he's so good. But these ankle things are ongoing. The Hornets are a mess. I'm just not sure a lot changes next year. So I do think he's going to fall in drafts.
I think this is the first guy we've seen fall this year. This is the biggest impact draft-wise we've seen. This is a first-round guy every year for the past 2 years. He's going at 12, 13, 14. There you go. When you're ready, I drafted him this year 22 games. Like people have had enough of it. They're going to let him slide. I don't think when you're ready is going to touching with a 10-foot pole, even if he's coming back to him at pick, let's say he's picking at number 12 next year and he gets that turn, he's like, I ain't taking him 12 or 13. Like, there's no way he's going near him. And in a 12-man league, you know, like, if he's there in the third round, like, you don't want a guy who's, like, in the third round, it's a little bit safer to play this, but he's definitely played himself out with the injuries of second-round value for people.
Yeah, I think he goes third round. At best, he probably goes back end of the second round because then end, someone could sort of plan a bit and go, okay, I'm going to grab this guy with my next pick because there's only two picks till my pick. So maybe I think the highest he probably goes is 22, that sort of range next season. But probably
you see in about 20. I think he'll settle into about 20. I think people will be like, oh, there's still LaMelo Ball. And a lot of younger punters, a lot of younger guys like LaMelo because of the hype machine. So I can see him just getting that bump there. But, yeah, he's just with that wariness of his injuries over time.
Yeah,
I know we've said this for guys like AD in the past and Joel in the past, but this is just – I just wonder if there's something in the family genetically that they're not – you know, everyone gets injured for long periods of time.
Yeah, I mean, there was some good news came out today about Lonzo, that he's back cutting and sort of scrimmaging with the team. He's traveling with the team again. So we're obviously still a long way off him actually playing NBA basketball, but touch wood.
That's great for him.
He can so get back good. And play because he was so special good before he went
He
down.
Was special.
So I was up next, as I said. I didn't get LaMelo, so I did agonize. Well, I didn't agonize over it, but I did sit on this pick for a little while.
You did, actually.
I was considering DeJounte Murray at this pick. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning behind that, because I think that's probably slightly high for DeJounte, but if Trae Young is moved that and DeJounte is the guy, we've seen in the last two weeks, while Trae has been out, DeJounte has been incredible. So that was my thinking there, but then I just wasn't sure. It's a mock, so I could have gone him. It doesn't really matter.
It's hypothetical world.
It is hypothetical, but I ended up going with Cade Cunningham at 31. I don't know. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Cade at this spot.
Fucking great. Like I saw it, I was like, fuck you. Again, like the Noah thing, I'm seeing that and I'm like, oh, this is great because people, we've got to remember, again, let's just go, I play this out as 14, but I play it down as a 12-team league. 24, you were not generally getting Cade Cunningham past pick 24, 25, 26. The fact that you've got him five picks later this year and he's given you what you need at this point. Like he gets you points, he gets you rebounds, he gets you assists, he gets you cheeky defensive stats. He's been a lot better the past month as well. I actually see the Pistons. Here's my hottest take of this whole thing. I think the Pistons are going to be half decent next year. I think there's only so much shit that they will play. They will get their pick this year. And I think Cade will just be a little bit better because of it, to be fair. And I think that'll play in with him. So yeah, I think this is a good pick. We loved Cade this year. We love Cade next year. We love Cade most years. And he's been about the 40th best player this year. So I think this is the time you got to grab him if you're going to grab him.
Yeah, I like him. I've got him in a couple of dynasty leagues. I think he's been pretty good, especially the last couple of weeks. Pistons have been better. He's been better.
Yeah,
I think they're a much better team than their record would indicate. They'll get a high draft pick again. There's obviously some holes in their roster, but Jalen Duren is really good. Asar Thompson is really good. Cade is really good. They need to get Isaiah Stewart out. So hopefully they can draft a really good floor spacing power forward. Ivy is serviceable. He's not awesome, but he's decent enough. So yeah, I think the Pistons will be a bit better next year. And I think Cade will still be, he'll still feel as though he needs to prove something.
He does. I think Jaden Ivy as well as a
team. Yeah.
I think he's a guy that we're going to watch in the future, being on an NBA championship thing and have one of the, you know, he's the kind of guy you'll see in an NBA championship team and he'll just have one of those games in a finals or a playoff series where he just scores like 34 points one night and he's out of his mind. I just think he has this knack and I like him. I think he's a good late round guy.
Yeah. And then, so we have had one more pick, Noah Rubin, just before we came on air, he took De'Aaron Fox with the 32nd pick. Fox this year is the
ranked player. And in the last month, he's the 18th best player. So this is the thing that about Darren I had this thing about De'Aaron Fox, that he plays well, and then he plays really well. Like, he's a guy who ramps up just statistically. If you just look at his arc the last two or three seasons, he just gets better as time goes on. Yeah, loving that 18th pick. So I think this is a great one. We're going to start to see – this is the thing as well we can just see as well. Point guards have gone off the board. So there's been that run on guards now. If we look back in the second round from Dan Tynes picking at pick number – what was that pick there? That would be in pick 18 or 20 for Dan. We've got Dame Lillard, Kyrie Irving, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxey, LaMelo Ball, Cade Cunningham, and De'Aaron Fox. So this is where all those kind of top-tier elite point guards really clear out of the rounds by the end of the third round. Like, the people who want that really elite point guard, they're going to start flying. The guys like Fred VanVleet, you said DeJounte Murray, but there's like, do we take DeJounte yet? He's too early. These are the kind of guys we can expect to see. And we haven't even mentioned Ja Morant.
Yep.
Coming back next year, you know, we're shut down for this one. Like, so guys like this, Derek White, guys have been incredibly hot this year. So these are these point guards in the next two rounds who are going to probably, I think we'll see Ja go later, but yeah, I think it's shaping up really well.
Yeah, there's a few guys here. I'm just quickly scrolling through. We won't keep people much longer, but Jimmy Butler has not gone yet, and he's one of these other guys that is starting to fall. LeBron hasn't gone. Fred VanVleet, who's been a top, I feel like he's top 20-ish this season.
Yeah, top 30.
Top 30. Yep, 27th. So he hasn't gone yet. Desmond Bain, who was going around the mid-20s this season, he hasn't gone. Paul George, Kristaps Porzingis, Jaren Jackson, who was going like top 15 this year. So,
and I think you've left a really nice window open, because this is based on current season ADPs. This is the biggest shockers as well. The ADP rank at 20, Mikal Bridges.
Yep.
Pascal Siakam, 28. Whew. Darius Garland, 30.
Plenty of talent.
This year where they were going. Yeah, these were guys who were going here. And who would again, with revisionist history, take Mikal Bridges after this season at pick 20?
He won't go up pick 20. I don't think he goes this round. I think he probably goes around 50. So no, 100%. Plenty of names there. There's still to come off the board. So, look, we might even do another show on, I don't know, Wednesday or something. We probably go through another couple of rounds then.
I'll text you from the bush.
Yeah, because you're away, so we won't be doing our Thursday night show this week, because you're off on a camp. So we might be able to squeeze one in anyway, or I might do a show with, I don't know, with Dan or with Noah or someone where we can go through a few of these picks. But it's been fun so far.
It's been a lot of fun. It's really good looking through the lens for next year and just seeing where people have, and also the guys have fallen. Like we just said, when we see guys who people wanted to grab early this year, like Mikal, Garland, Pascal, and you already see them like, nah. So you already know that there's going to be back, these guys are falling. So it gives you an idea of who's not going to be on the board early, where you have to adjust your picks for next year. It's a great exercise.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. Drafting is fun, and it distracts anyone like me who is about to be bundled out of their playoffs and gets you focusing on next year.
Amen.
Insight Fantasy Sports, you guys obviously have all the sports covered, but just let anyone know, because we have got a ton of viewers tonight, so this is incredible. Thanks, people, for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Of course, give us a subscribe and a like, and we're going to have tons of content coming out during the off-season. Despite the fact that redraft's finished, our draft-only leagues start as soon as the season is done. We have a heap of playoff leagues as well. I'll probably do some industry analyst interviews like I did last year, because there's a whole heap of new analysts now that are part of the fantasy basketball space. But what's going on at Insight?
Mate, heaps. Obviously, we're in knee deep in the, or balls deep, bit of a one for you. We're balls deep in the NBA season. I'm about to jump off after this and record our week 20 preview and break that down. It's many people's first week for their playoffs or the last week of their regular season, depending where your season falls. So about to do that show for the week. We've got a few things coming up. We've got our live heat check show next Saturday. During the course of the week, we have the pickup on Tuesday night, which is where we look at who guys you want to ride the waiver wire with through the course of the week and strategically plan out your stuff. Make sure you like and subscribe at Inside F Sports and me at NBA G Wiz, all the NBA content there. But if you're an Aussie or even international over in New Zealand or anywhere that loves your NRL, your AFL, your BBL, all of your gear, we've got you covered for the entire year. So jump on board and say g'day.
And thank you, as always, for coming on. Always pleasure, always nice always having a pleasure. Chat. I'm going to let you go. We're going to let all these viewers get back to life. Start planning for next season. It's never too early. Start doing up some ranks. My player ranks are probably going to be out, I would say, in the next 2 weeks for next season. So keep an eye out. I'll tweet that out. Follow me at AdamKing91. Follow Matty G at NBAGWiz. As I said, we're on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Twitter, anywhere else that you consume your podcast content. We will be there. Until next time, catch up.
See ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.